Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, ladies and gentlemen. I hope everybody's doing okay. We've got Chatio out tonight, so we're going to have Jimmy Dirt stepping in as my co-host tonight. And we've always got the beautiful Kim, the producer, in.
Thank you.
So how are you doing tonight, Kim?
I'm doing pretty good. I see your latest account has gone bye-bye.
Yep. Didn't get any violation warnings or anything. They just took my accounts away. You know.
Well, you know what was funny was I saw Freedom Stick stuck his head up, and he's gone already too.
Yeah, it's probably what happened is I duetted him, and they found us both. So,
yep.
You know, it is what
yep,
it is.
He's gone.
People kept asking me, should I duet you or should I not duet you? And I'd say, well, enter at your own risk.
Well,
you know?
And that's the thing, unfortunately. But, yeah, we've got a great show tonight. We have Jimmy Dirt sitting in for Chatio. Chad's on vacation. He just had enough of Michael and I, and he needed a break. I'm just kidding. No, he's on a lovely family vacation. We have Dockhouse in tonight, and that's going to be a great show. So I'm going to bring Jimmy in the room because I see he's finally here. I was getting worried. I was like, where the hell's Jimmy? I was thinking I was going to have to pull him off alive. Hello, Jimmy.
Hey, guys. Sorry, I was trying to get it on the computer. I couldn't figure it out, so I had to call in on the phone line here. But, yeah, great show tonight. I've been looking at Dockhouse's stuff. I wasn't aware of him prior to tonight. Great content, amazing Patriot, fantastic. And once again, thank you guys for having me. Awesome opportunity. I can't wait.
Oh, man, awesome. Thank you for coming on, Jimmy. Yeah, Dockhouse, he's been on for a while, man. I've been following him back and forth for probably about a year. I think he's on account 26 now, so I'll be caught up with him pretty quick. I'll be making number 22 maybe tonight or tomorrow. We'll see.
No, I might be on our next one. If tonight goes well, I might be on our next one too, so you never know.
That's right. So if anybody is in Ottawa area, y'all be looking out because Chatio goes to Ottawa. That's where he's headed. So
he might make a special appearance over at my place because we are doing a little bit of things for our camp initiative for kids. If anybody doesn't know, I am the CEO of Camp for All. We're sending kids to camp that are underprivileged and would not normally be able to go. And Chatio should be stopping by for a pretty big event for us, too, so keep your eyes peeled for that. More on that later. But, yeah, absolutely. So some pretty crazy
awesome
stuff going on in the States this week, guys. From a Canadian's perspective, looks like a lot of people are up in their fields. I don't know what you guys think about it.
Man, y'all know where I stand. That's probably what just got me banned off of TikTok. From my video that I made, because I think it's Roe v. Wade was bullshit from the beginning. It was based on a lie. Should have never been under the Constitution. It should be a state's right, and the state should be able to decide what they want to do with it. I've got five sisters. I've dealt with people that have had abortions before. I've got 23 nieces and nephews. I love kids, man. My mom had me when she was 17, my sister when she was 16. I know it was hard on her, but she did it. And, you know, that's my grandpa told her, that's what you do. You lay down, you make your bed, and I lie in it, you know. And I don't know. There's special cases where I think abortion should be, allowed. But I think it's great that we're going to hold the key now. And if they want to. If they want to talk about it, then we're going to have some conversations. And if not, then I guess they'll just be shut out. And
well, that,
I think it's a good
that
thing.
That seems to be the way it typically goes when the left gets upset. You know, they got upset for us Canadians here for 3 weeks in Ottawa. Meanwhile, there was 7 months of the cities burning down to the ground, absolutely destroying. You want to talk about ruined lives from horn honking. How about your business being burned to the ground? So if you can't stomach 3 weeks of people being upset versus what happened in the States with the Black Lives Matter and everything else that went on, just in 2020 there, I think people need to start taking a cold, hard look on who they're listening to and where their moral compass is at.
Absolutely. That's something.
So good to be free. I feel so free right now.
You can say whatever you want, whenever you want, and the only person that can mute us is Kim. I'm sick of the argument. I'm actually getting really sick of arguing with liberals, man. It's probably showing in my videos because I'm just seeing more and more videos coming from liberals, and it's TikTok letting them. It's TikTok pushing their shit and pushing their propaganda, but they don't want to talk. They don't want to have any type of conversation. They think that they can just infringe all over the Constitution here, and that's just not happening. I think it was a big slap in their face, and that's why my video, I was just laughing, man. I think it's funny. These people have been stepping all over our Constitution, stepping all over our rights for years, been telling us to mask up and get a vaccine, and my body, my choice, all of a sudden is the thing to do. When, you know, 6 months ago, it wasn't my body, it wasn't my choice. It was mask up and get vaxxed, or you're an outcast. So, you know,
well,
just a big slap in the face. Do what?
Interestingly enough, Mike, what I've noticed, too, there's a lot of people that seem to be on the pro-freedom side of this, freedom fighters, freedom fighters, whatever they want to call us, right?
Yeah.
I've been noticing that I've seen a lot of people from the left side now saying, oh, where's your freedom fighting now? Dude, you left us hanging for a long time, and those wounds are still very much well open. What, because all of a sudden Canadians can get on a plane and fly domestically now? You know, there's still all kinds of regulations that go behind all that stuff. So excuse me if we're not quite ready to cozy up to the people that wish us dead, that told us that we shouldn't have medical care, that told us that we couldn't come over for Christmas, that told us that we couldn't get on a plane, train. You know what I mean? They told us that we couldn't leave. We were prisoners in our own country. And then all of a sudden, some arbitrary decision comes down from the Supreme Court in a different country, and they're asking us to help them. I'm not even sure that it's going to hurt the people in the country that I don't reside in. Because the way it seems to me is that this should have never, ever been a federal issue. It should have always been left to the states, as is anything as such. And I don't even really see any sort of fallout from this other than the trigger laws that were in place. But, like, everybody had well enough warning for all of that, too. So what gets to me, though, guys, I got an issue with disinformation and misinformation. And it seems to be if someone says disinformation or misinformation from the left, it means that everybody has to listen to it. But when they claim other people are giving disinformation, it means they're wrong. And I don't understand the duality of those two things. It almost seems, dare I say, cult-like behavior, cult-like following, decreeing from a high horse where you have no good standing on it. You know, we've seen this time and time again from the left, and it's honestly hurting it's hurting my brain, and it's hurting my feelings for a lot of people that are tied up in this stuff. And, you know, there's good people on both sides of this thing. Absolutely.
Absolutely,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But you gotta wonder. The last time a great man said that there was, not that I'm a great man, but the last time I heard a great man say that there was good people on both sides, that was taken the wrong way too. So what is it? Is it about control or is it about freedom? I tend to lean, I'm right wing, but I tend to lean kind of more libertarian in that respect. I don't like to tell people what they should or shouldn't do with their stuff. But I'm not exactly sure why they want me to help them after the way they treated me for the last 2 years.
Yeah, I lean libertarian as well. I lean constitutional conservative, you know, but I do lean libertarian in a lot of ways. And I think a lot of things should be left up to people to decide what they want to do with themselves. I just can't lean that direction with abortion just because it's not their body. After, what is it, 14 days, the baby has eyes. What is it, 16, 18, 20 days, the baby has a heartbeat, like, or vice versa. I mean, that's a baby. And a man can't walk away from a baby after the baby's born. He's responsible for child support. He's responsible for all this other stuff, you know, but a woman can do what she wants with a baby. And also a man can't tell a woman she can't have an abortion. You know, I've seen videos of men standing outside of abortion clinics crying, begging, pleading women not to go in to have their baby, that they would raise the baby, that she, you know, sign it over. She has to have nothing to do with the baby, just have the baby. And basically they're laughing going in like, fuck you. They use it as a tool. They use it as birth control, and it's not, that's not what it was meant to be.
Well, especially if you dive into the origins of it, and absolutely, Mike, you know, I agree with you 100% on that one. You dive into the origins, you know, and you go back into when this Planned Parenthood was set up in the first place, and there, the medical technology available at the time, obviously things have progressed. We have little tiny computers in our hands, and they were probably, you know, typing Morse code back when Margaret Sanger was doing it. There was no other option, right? Not that it was justified or good back then, because we know what the nefarious actions behind that ideology was back in the day. But at the end of the day, you lay down in your bed, you're going to make it yourself. You know, there's options. You can use a condom, right? You can get Plan B. Like, so a lot of people like to bring up the 0.5% of people that, you know, unfortunately fall victim to bad people that do nasty things to them, but we have Plan B for that, right? That's part of the rape kit, right? So
we do, and I think that most conservatives, not to cut you off, but I think that most people that are against abortion are willing to talk about those, about, you know, rape or incestual rape or medical issue. I think that we're all willing to talk about those things.
It's interesting you bring it up, because I was I did a little bit of fact checking. Now, these are going to be loose numbers, but for the state of Florida last year, there were 33,000 abortions. And I, as you know, in the state of Florida, they have to give reasonings, right? So they have to say, like, okay, you're here for this reason, this is why. So out of the 33,000 abortions that were performed in the state of Florida last year, 38 of them were from rape, and 3 of them were from incest. So
exactly, such a small number.
When you, percentages are percentages, and it matters for all people. But I mean, like, don't grandstand on that. You know what I mean? Like, it's there are people, especially, you know, incestuous incidents and stuff like that. People are watching. There's programs there that protect people. You know what I mean? And I think the biggest thing that I've learned over the last week, just being a casual observer to this, because it really doesn't have any effect on my family or friends in the country that I currently reside in, is the amount of good stories that have come out of these tragic events. I've heard story after story about people that were essayed and hurt and all this stuff, and they decided to keep it, and how wonderful the child turned. Now they would never do it any different. I've heard stories about people getting one or having an abortion, then never being able to have one again. Maybe not as a direct result, but maybe things happen, right? So their body just couldn't have more kids, and they regret that as well. And also, you know, from my own experience, I was adopted when abortion was illegal in Canada in 1981, right? So I might not have been here otherwise, right? So we got to take a look at that. But I also know people personally and intimately that have had them, right? And I'm going to tell you that trauma never goes away, folks. It seems like you're it's a quick fix to a bad situation, but you're going to carry that shit with you for the rest of your life. Pardon my French.
No, you're absolutely right. I know people personally that have had them too, and I don't know one person that doesn't regret it. You know, I don't know a whole lot of people that have had them. There's one of my wife's friends that have had one, and I know she regrets it. She said it so many times, but I did see her. Okay, so I got banned off TikTok the other day, so I stayed off for a day and a half, maybe 2 days. I made another account yesterday. Well, in that meantime, I went back to Facebook for a couple of days. Wow. Like, I had no clue how many friends that I had were fucking ignorant. I don't even know what to say. I mean, honestly, it's even my cousin was sitting there talking about, you know, if you need to go camping, I'll take you to another state and blah, 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 blah. Like, I can't believe the people are really advocating for the murder of babies. I'm dumbfounded by this, Jimmy. I really am. I don't know. I'm dumbfounded.
Yeah, it blows my mind too. It really does, right? But I think what we're seeing right now is the culmination of the kind of psychological attacks that we've seen across Western society over the last 2 years. They know that if a certain pundit puts this out, and they drive a narrative, regardless of how factually accurate it is or not, there is a percentage of people that are saying A, B, C, which is anything but conservative, and they will hop on this. And these people are dirty, evil people. You know what I mean? They will completely look or push aside facts, look away from truths, just to push their narrative, right? And it's manipulation to the highest degree. And I'm sure we all know what the left does. They look for an emotional response, and they try to elicit some sort of emotional reaction from you, right? And staunch conservatives, I know right now, for some reason think that this is a loss for women and they're taking away their rights. And I don't know, maybe I'm too logical for it. I just don't see it that way. I think that human spirit will prevail no matter what. So whether you are pro-life or pro-choice, I don't think even if you get into a place like Texas that had trigger laws that came into place, because let's be honest, that happened, there isn't going to be a not-for-profit or some sort of fundraising or something that's going on that's going to help these people out to get them to a place where they can have these procedures if they need to. But the crazy thing that I heard, Mike, and the one thing I can't wrap my head around is the amount of people that thought if you have an ectopic pregnancy, which is likely, well, it's 100% death for the baby, but also likely death for the mother, that states would be like, sorry, it's your turn to die. And this narrative kind of really bothers me. Because the low information average person that doesn't have their ear to the street is going to hear this kind of nonsense. And then they're going to tell them everything they're hearing from the other side is misinformation and disinformation and base their opinion on it. And that's how they do this.
That's exactly how they do it. I've been reading a book, Behold a Pale Horse. And, man, this guy, it's a book, I think it's from 1954. William Cooper wrote it. I'm only into the second chapter right now, but this is exactly what he's talking about. And this was written in 1954, and he's talking about the silent war and how they're going to do it with computers and basically how they're going to, you know, control the media. And they're going to, you know, that's when they started, you know, Rockefeller getting the credit started and how they did all that. And it's just about control. And man, so far, like I said, I'm only on chapter two, but so far the thing, I'm like, I can't wait to get off the show tonight just to start reading again. It's very interesting. And the whole book, I love math, and the whole book's talking about math and statistics and basically how they set everything up to control us was based off of math and statistics. It's just insane. And like you said, they control us by the narrative that they push to, like you said, uneducated people. And
the low information voter is literally the most dangerous thing for modern democracy. When they're using all of the hyperbole, the conjecture, the grandstanding, the motives that they use to choose to try to sway the will of the people. What people don't realize is they're doing this not for your benefit. They're doing it for nefarious reasons. They're trying to take your freedoms away from you, right? Useless eaters. It goes all back to the same narrative, right? And it's sad. It really is sad that people can't see what's really going on around them. You know, you hear a lot of people saying, wake up, pay attention, all of these things, but you know, it's pretty tough to pull a newspaper that your parents have been reading for 50 years away from them and tell them that they're lying to them. You know what I mean? And it's easy to say that it's really hard to say that you're wrong, right? You go back to that old Samuel Clemens quote, Mark Twain said, easier to fool a person than to convince them that they've been fooled. But I think we're seeing that in real time right now.
We're definitely seeing that in real time. There's no doubt about it, man. You know, you said you're trying to pull the paper from your dad. You know, I finally talked my mom into my mom's a prepper now. My mom, she's on board with all this, and she's on TikTok now. She follows all of us. She stays pretty quiet on there. But, you know, my stepdad thought we were crazy. My mom thought I was crazy for years. My stepdad, he thought I was crazy, too. He thought my mom was crazy for prepping. And he sat down and watched a couple videos that I told him to sit down and watch. I told him, man, if you think I'm fucking crazy after this, then so be it. But man, he is on the rabbit hole now so hard it's not even funny. And he'll text me and he'll call me and he's like, oh my God, Mike,
I can't believe this. Did you know this? And I'm like, yeah, I remember reading that about that back in 2011, you know. But I love it when I get somebody on a rabbit hole, dude. But now my stepdad, he's all about it, and it's insane. But I do love waking people up. That's why I started doing my TikTok, and that's why we're doing this. We got Chadio in the chat room. He says, hi.
Oh, wow.
Chadio here. So he's over there in the chat room. We've got Doc House waiting live. Kim, if you want to bring Doc House in anytime, let's hear from Doc House. See what's going on.
Yeah, I'm super stoked. I scoped out his content. I'm super stoked to talk to this guy. Fantastic. By the looks of it, anyways, I'm excited.
Yeah, he's got great, great content. And, Jimmy, did you hear C-11 got squashed with the Senate today?
It's looking like it, yeah, for sure. I'm super happy about that. Obviously, when it gets passed, so for the Americans in the room, we have a bill coming up called C-11. Just right before we bring Docos in, I'll do a quick synopsis if you guys can bear with me. C-11 is basically an internet censorship bill that tries to bring the CRTC, which is the Canadian Radio and Television Corporation, into moderating the internet. So basically, the guise is that they want more Canadian content, right? They're going to help Canadian content providers, but there's a bunch of stuff in the background on that that is kind of dicey. So luckily enough for Canadians, after things get passed through Parliament, it has to go to a Senate hearing. And the senators are allowed to talk to people or industry in regards to the bill that's been passed. So what it's looking like is YouTube did a big push and said, hey, this is bad. You know what I mean? Like, North Korea doesn't even have this. China doesn't even have this. What are you guys trying to pull? And, Kim, I don't – so it's gone now? It's out? For sure?
I heard that – I saw a couple videos. I was driving, like, even today when I was texting with you, I was – okay, I wasn't – okay, for those any Nazis out there that don't – okay, yes, I was driving. But anyways, I had heard that, yes, it was squashed. Well, God knows I'll be banned from something because I was driving and whatever. But, yeah, anyways. What's up?
And I just gave you a community guidelines violation.
Wow.
report.
That's just great. Okay, well, I'm ending on that. Let's bring Doc House in. I've been waiting all week for him to come in. Doc House, mm-hmm. Good evening.
Am I in here? What's going on, guys? How y'all doing tonight?
Very good, sir. Thanks for joining.
I've really been enjoying the conversation that you guys were having beforehand. You know, I've been listening in for about the last 20 minutes and, you know, hearing about the family members, you know, that you guys have woken up. You know, that's been one of the big things of my life, too, because I feel like I've been awake for, I don't know, since 2007. So, you know, to hear you guys, like, share your stories about, like, the people that, you know, in your family that you've woken up, man, that's like, really good to hear, you know. So, but hi, guys. I'm Doc House. You can follow me on TikTok for the time being at Doc House 8.0. I'm sure Doc House 9.0 is right around the corner. If you're listening, I've been banned pretty much as many times as all of these guys have. So, Michael, I'm sorry to hear about your account getting nuked today.
Man, it is what it is. I'm wondering if I'm going to have to do a factory reset or another device again. I don't know. I haven't tried to make another account. I'll probably wait till tomorrow. It's aggravating, man, because literally I just want to tell the truth. I just want to put news out there so people can see it. You know, people don't go to fucking Fox. They don't go to CNN. They don't go to Newsmax. They come to TikTok. A lot of people come there for the news, man, and you know, it's shameful that that's where they get it from, but if that's where they're going to go, then people need to be able to give it to them. We're just in a war.
Yeah.
People don't realize it yet, but they will fucking realize it.
We have absolutely been in a information war for about 5 or 6 years now, I think. It's been the height of when we've gone into this information war where they just want to censor us. They don't want another narrative out there, and people like us are a threat to that. I mean, they see it every time we come on. We get all these followers, we get all of these views, we get all of these mentions, we get all of these likes, blah 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 blah, and they don't like that. And that is absolutely, I feel like a lot of the people that I've come into contact with since you know, creating content on TikTok, you know, we're like public enemy number one for them. And
we definitely are.
That's because of this. Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, we have to be, like, especially like Kramer. You know, it was good to, you know, I called in last week, and it was good to get a chance to actually like talk to him, too, because, you know, the people like us, we're like kind of on the front lines of this information digital war that's going on right now. And it's just, it is, like you say, it's frustrating to create this content that people want to see. They want to hear it because, like you said, people are coming to TikTok for the news. They're coming to their social media apps for the news. They're not watching all of this other mainstream bullshit anymore. So it's so frustrating to like try to give people this information and then just automatically just get wiped from the platform right away and then have to start all over again. But I'm never going to stop. I know you guys aren't going to stop. So, you know,
no,
they can keep coming. Well, they can keep coming if they want to. I'm just going to keep doing the same thing I'm doing.
Absolutely.
Well, you guys brought up Facebook, which is interesting, right? Because our friend there, Kramer, he's actually been pretty successful on Instagram. But if you look at the way that Meta designs their services, like the Facebooks and the Instagrams versus TikTok, and, well, even versus YouTube, TikTok is creator-centric. If you do a good job on TikTok, you get rewarded for it, right? We know guys like our friend, the Angry Canadian News, Kramer, guys like that can skyrocket up to 100,000 followers overnight. Meanwhile, I get stuck at 2,000 followers on Instagram and my stuff doesn't go out. So they have a different background program that stops this stuff from getting out there. But it is the nature of TikTok. And I think TikTok is really, for me, shown what the will of the people is and what people are interested in listening to. And it's something that's not curated the same way, and it's not so carefully. One thing I'll add to that is my wife, V1086, there made a video the other day. She actually still uses Facebook. I've been off it since they gave me a 7-day ban for 12 reasons not to get the vaccine, and I walked away. But she was on there the other day, and you know how they used to give you, like, the little COVID-19 bubble at the bottom of your post if you were talking about vaccines or getting sick or whatever the hell it was? Well, they've actually moved that further.
Yeah.
She saw a post the other day, and the post had to do with climate change. Now there's a click here for more information on climate change. I don't know if you guys have noticed that or not, but they're clamping down harder and harder, guys.
Yeah, they actually announced the climate change misinformation like 4 months ago. They announced that that was going to be the next thing that Facebook was going to clamp down on was climate change misinformation. And so I knew right then and there we're going to start seeing those little blurbs right down the bottom of a post. Like, you know, this was independently fact-checked by people who aren't actual fact-checkers. So I knew that was coming.
Opinion checkers.
Yeah, opinion checkers. That's all they are. And they admitted to it in court. Facebook admitted to that in court, that their fact-checkers are actually just opinion checkers. That was admitted to in court. And so for people to take that shit seriously, it's infuriating to me. I keep my Facebook up and running because, like, I've got a family. I've got memories and stuff that I want to see. I very rarely am posting anything that has to do with everything that's going on right now, just simply because I'm 100% throttled on my Facebook. I've got over 4,000 people on my account, and maybe I'll get like 3 or 4 likes on something that's a political statement, and then I'll post a picture of my kid and it's like 75-80 likes on it. So I'm like, I know, like, I'm getting throttled on Facebook. And you said, Jimmy, you said that you left after you got like a 7-day ban. I have been banned on Facebook for up to 30 days at least 7 or 8 times now, easily. And that may be a lowball number. I spend most of my time in Facebook jail. So that's the only real reason that I'm keeping Facebook right now is simply for, you know, memories about my kids and my wife and that kind of thing. But it is getting so bad right now. on the censorship issue, I cannot appeal any of my videos on TikTok. And I've seen that's been happening to a lot of the patriotic content creators. Like, you're not allowed to appeal anymore. It just goes to a white screen.
Yep.
Oh, wow. I haven't seen that yet for myself.
Yeah. On this account, I've got the account warning. But every time I go to one of the videos that, you know, they violated, you know, for stupid, just, I've gotten a couple of videos where it just, like, it comes up black and it just says violated for, and then nothing else after it.
Yeah. Well, have you been on TikTokTransparency.com? Because TikTokTransparency.com, I know for Canadians, will show you exactly where the government interference is coming in. For a while there, I was getting videos taken down on TikTok without any reason, so they weren't reported it. But there's been a person, like a watchdog, that was paying attention, I'm supposing, from the government, that will actually pull your stuff down before you actually have an opportunity.
Yes, I had heard about that. But then also last weekend when we were talking to Kramer brought up a really good point that I don't think any of us had really thought about, was that some of the laws that we're apparently violating is in other countries. And so that's why we're getting violated, is because we're violating some law in another country. And I did not know that.
Yo, it is a global app, right? So that makes sense that could be, right? And that kind of ties into what Kim was saying just before you got in the chat here, Doc. What's happening with Canada with the C-11 right now. And for any of the Americans listening in, take a look and see what Trudeau's trying to do next. But it's crazy, this censorship stuff. So I'm almost wondering, like, if C-11 had gotten enacted, an internet censorship bill within Canada, would that have impacted American creators if that is what Kramer's saying?
Yes, absolutely, it would have.
So it's not just a Canada problem. Interesting.
Yeah, and like I said earlier, I did not know that until Kramer brought that up, and that kind of makes a lot of sense. Like, I had a video violated. I did a duet with this mayor down in Miami where they were doing like a gun gun buyback program. Yeah, y'all, I know y'all saw that one. Yeah, it wasn't even me. That I wasn't showing any weapons in the video. It was his video, and I just did a duet with it, and it got removed because it said for illegal activities. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, yeah, it is illegal to take away people's guns from them. So, like, why am I being violated for this? You know, but it's getting absolutely 1984 nightmarish with the type of censorship that they're doing currently online. And I unfortunately have this feeling that it's only going to get worse from here without actually building infrastructure and a parallel economy, a digital parallel economy, because they've got complete control over all of those institutions, and it's all about their narrative and what they say. And we're going to be in trouble if we lose our First Amendment rights, because everybody who has ever paid attention to a totalitarian regime in history knows that they take away your right to speak first, and then they take away the weapons. Once they take away weapons, it's all downhill from there. That's it. And that's what we're seeing right now. We are seeing a global totalitarian regime.
Well, we got Justin Trudeau standing up in the middle of the press world, I suppose, for anybody listening, saying Canadians don't have a right to defend themselves with a gun. Well, that's absolutely false and incorrect. We're allowed to match equal force. So maybe it's a guy with a bat with a nail in it and a smaller person or a woman or something like that that's defending their property. They're allowed to meet or match equal force, right? So but we're at that point. It's funny you bring up 1984 because Orwell, was well ahead of his time. we're already past the fact of the premise of 1984, in my best judgment. We're on to the new speak portion, which is crazy, which means it's already been implemented. And we're seeing all these new words coming in, and the way that people are communicating, the expectations of giving out what they deem to be seen as in the world immediately, and the compliance in that. It came out of nowhere. But Orwell was right again, guys, I think. What are your thoughts?
Michael, you want to go in on that one?
Oh, go ahead, Doc.
I have to agree with you, Jimmy. I definitely think that Orwell was way ahead of his time, and the things that were predicted back then, it's almost like predictive, like programming in a way, that we've crossed that threshold, like you said. We've already gotten to that point where we can, if you have eyes to see and ears to hear, you can actually fully understand where we're at as a society. My honest opinion is I really just have to agree with everything that you just said, Jimmy. Like, that was pretty much spot on.
Yeah, definitely spot on. I can't believe that that's the laws there in Canada, though, man, that you can't. I can't. I mean, I grew up in Texas, so, I mean, we have stand your ground. We have castle laws. Like, somebody even just tries to rob me or take my car in my driveway or in a parking lot, I can shoot them. And, yeah, I'll stand trial, but more than likely with the laws that we have here, they don't have to have a gun. They don't have to have a knife. I just have to fear for my life. And so I can't believe the laws in Canada. I mean, I know they're crazy just because of the license and all that shit that y'all have to have, but it's insane. It's a God-given right to be able to protect yourself, and I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Amen.
To be honest, we are seeing a bit of a change, and maybe that's why we're getting the pushback, because castle laws have started to be adopted in rural areas in central Canada, so like across Saskatchewan and Alberta now. The cops have just come to a realization that it's going to be half an hour. You know what they say? The old saying is, like, when seconds count, the cops are only minutes away. In Canada, your local RCMP, like your mounted police, federal police, the Mounties, I don't know if you guys are aware of them or not, could be half an hour, 45 minutes away from you, and they might be on a call. So they've realized now the kind of risk and danger that they've put in people that live in rural circumstances the way. I think a lot of the focus happens in Canada in places like Toronto, Vancouver, Montreal, and a lot of people lose grasp. So, 70% of Canada's population lives on the north end of Lake Ontario, north of Michigan, there in what they call the Golden Horseshoe in the Toronto area. But the vast majority of Canada is still very much dense wilderness or open prairie. They don't have solutions. Like, there's a focus in on city life and what's happening in the city. Like, and I'll give you an example of that. So one of our local national newspapers, I guess local to Ontario, but a national paper said, made this statement that we had 6 shootings in Toronto over the course of, I think it was last weekend, might have been last weekend. They're like, is Toronto the new Chicago? But then once you dive past the headline, there was something like 58 or 59 murders in Chicago at that point. And I'm like, are we making policy based on this? Because this
that's
really
what I'm
is like
a half hour in Chicago, man. That's a half hour or so in Chicago.
Right.
Right.
Insane, right? And coincidentally, some of the strictest gun laws in the country, right? Now, this decision that came out, I know that the House down there voted some gun control legislation in, but right before the Roe v. Wade overturning came out, there was a pro-2-amendment decision made by by SCOTUS as well. And I'll let you guys talk about that one, because I'd love to hear opinion from the Americans on this.
Yeah, so it's kind of funny that you say, about how, the majority of Canadians are centralized in your bigger cities. And then they're trying to dictate what the rural Canadians are doing with guns. That's exactly the same thing that is happening here in the United States. Most of the city dwellers are the ones that are calling for the gun control, not realizing that rural America has guns because there might be a fucking bear that attacks. And then they're trying to dictate their way of life with, as far as it concerns guns, which they have the overwhelming majority of gun violence with the strictest gun laws in our country, but yet they want to tell everybody else in our country what to do with their guns. And
well, you see, Doc, this is Chatty O here, brother. Just want to jump in for
hey,
a while.
Chatty
O. Not to cut you off there, brother. You know,
man. Coming in hot. What's up?
Well, they don't want, you see, they don't want your gun laws. They want the Constitution. Because if you erase that Second Amendment, everything else will fall. You look at the Constitution there, the Second Amendment guarantees the rest. And that's how it is. That's how it's always going to be. I mean, you look at that whack job up there in Chicago, mayor there, Lori Lightfoot, out there calling for violence and everything else, and nothing. You know, no charges, no January 6th, no nothing. Maxine Waters did the exact same thing. All these whack jobs from the left, and I don't mean to be, I'm on vacation, so I'm allowed to be a little bit bad. But, you know, it's just insane, right? But I'm just listening. I just wanted to thank you, Doc, for coming on, you know, and we really appreciate it. I love your content. It's hard to keep up with you because, they keep shutting you down. And Michael's following your footsteps or leading the way, one or the other. And, Jimmy, I just want to tell you you're doing a hell of a job, and I really appreciate you, brother.
Oh, thank you, man. Big shoes to fill for sure. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Jimmy, you're doing a great job filling in.
Yeah, he is.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Michael. Yeah, I'm just going to say, enjoy your vacation, Chatty O. We got you, brother.
Yeah. All right. With that being said, I'm going to jump back up. I'll be listening in, and you know, you guys are awesome. I love your content. I love, you know, I get all excited. I won't be able to sleep tonight now. Maybe we should start having our show at, like, lunchtime.
Thanks a lot, Kim. Have a nice meatball sub. And yeah. Have a nice meatball sub, catch a nap, and then wake up for part two at night, maybe.
Right.
Jimmy, I'll be seeing you soon, Jimmy.
All right, brother. I can't wait, man.
All right. Take care.
See you, Chatty O.
Yeah. Did you guys see that Clarence Thomas, he's talking about going in and making it easier to sue the media companies for libel. And that's another good thing, man. That's something we've got going on right now, the Supreme Court. I don't know if it's all on purpose. I don't know. There's a lot of different ways you could look at what's going on with the Supreme Court lately, you know, with the gun laws in New York being overturned and then the Roe v. Wade being overturned. And it's it all could, I don't know, it could all fall a couple different ways, but it looks like, you know, things in that manner are going our direction.
And that's one thing that you saying that just made me think of something that I wanted to bring up. How do you guys feel about Q?
I haven't followed Q for a couple, you know, for a year and a half, 2 years. I quit. I started pushing, you know, nobody's coming to save us. We have to save our fucking selves because, you know, no matter what, even Trump, you know, I don't know if Q and Trump are controlled opposition. I don't know what they are. I know Trump exposed a lot of things. He woke a lot of people up, and I thank him for that. And a lot of things that Trump said came to fruition. A lot of things that Q have said have came to fruition. But we can't as a nation keep waiting for somebody to come save us. We have to take what we know, we have to stand up together, and we have to hold people accountable. And until that happens, it doesn't make a fuck what you know, we would have to have one person come in and save us. And that's just not going to happen. I mean, Trump can't do it himself either. Even if Trump was a good guy, if Q is all real, he still can't do it himself. We have to have people willing to stand up and fucking fight and hold people accountable for shit. But I don't know. What do you think, Jimmy?
I'm getting tired of waiting on dates. Like, that was the one thing that got me off the Q train, right, is the dates. And there were some grumblings at some point where, you know, maybe in the early days of Q, I should say that it was actually factual and real. But just like anything else, we all know how corrupt the FBI and all the three-letter agencies are down there in the States. I kind of think he got taken over. And I think they kind of commandeered that, if you will, to try to control the narrative again further down the rabbit hole we go. But I think there is a stark difference, right? And obviously he captured a nation of patriots when they were putting out some good information. But I do seem to remember a time where I'm like, this doesn't seem like what it was. And I think that's when it kind of fell off the rails for me.
Yeah.
Okay, I will definitely agree with both of you. And the only reason why I asked was because, Michael, you said that about, like, you know, all of this stuff is kind of, like, coming to fruition. We're starting to see a lot of changes. And the reason why I brought it up was because I was just informed that Q started posting again. And it was 1,700 days after the first actual Q drop. And I was big into Q. You know, 2017, 2018, I was following the drops pretty much every time there was a post. Like, I was reading it, and I have to agree with you, Jimmy. There was a time where it kind of seemed like a little bit different, but obviously there just a lot of like coded stuff that I just fully didn't understand. But I do think that, Michael, you are right, that whole entire, whether it be, you know, an actual legitimate operation, because, like, people like to say it's, like, military intelligence and, you know, Q clearance and, you know, whatever. But it did wake up a lot of people, and it did kind of start to build a community of patriots in a way. It did kind of start to build that where you just said not one man is going to save us. Not just Donald Trump is going to save us. It's going to be people like us who save ourselves. And I kind of think that was like the whole entire intention. And it could have been controlled opposition. It could have been, you know, somebody just trying to make people like us who are reading it and patriotic American placent in a way. To where we were like, okay, you know, the Q is going to drop now. This is going to be the day. This is going to be the day. And like Jimmy, like you said, like that was the kind of like the whole entire date thing was kind of what pushed me away from it for a while. But also, when you think back to it, none of the drops that were ever mentioned a date. There was never any given specific time frame. There was never a day that was specifically dropped by whoever was in control of the Q drops. It was online people who were speculating, and people like myself, because I was speculating and shit out of shit. But that was never a thing when it came to the actual Q drops. So going back to what the reason why I asked the question was because of what you said, Michael, of like all of this stuff is coming out into focus. Right before I called in, my wife put on Fox News, and like I don't really watch Fox News. I don't really read too much Fox News. I kind of stay pretty much way away from any of mainstream articles, but she had put it on, and it was showing a video of Hunter Biden in a hotel room with a Russian prostitute. And they were talking about how Joe Biden actually, on the same day that this video with him with a Russian prostitute, Joe Biden wired his son $5,000 to pay said prostitute. So all of this stuff is really starting to come out into light. And I'll finish with this, and then you can say – the first Q drop, coming back to it, said it had to be this way. And that's kind of how I'm feeling, like his you wake up too many people are going to fucking panic. That's all I have to say.
Totally agree. Absolutely. And you know what? I think that's why. Okay, so it's unprecedented. Just to talk about that example right there, let's look at a current situation that's kind of going down. Unprecedented. It's only happened once before, guys, that some sort of ruling has gotten late coming out of SCOTUS. Absolutely. Virtually unprecedented, right? So that could have definitely been a reasoning, saying, hey, listen, you know, we really don't want to burn down these cities like they're Kenosha again. You know what I mean? Maybe some of the mayors from some of these blue states started to get a little bit nervous here and said, wait a second, if this is coming down the pipes, we might as well give some people a little bit of notice on this thing. Because really, could the country take any more?
No, I really don't think the country could take any more. And I was on that train that when the actual decision to be overturned, I thought it was going to get pretty brutal. I didn't know if it was going to get at 2020 standards, and I'm glad that it did. We've had firebombings of, you know, pregnancy centers down here. We've had vandalism of pregnancy centers. They just burned down a historic Catholic church. So we have had some, you know, some opposition. But I listened to Tim Pool, who was in New York over the weekend. He was there on Saturday. Said Friday it was, you know, kind of wild. Saturday there was nobody there. So I think you're right that maybe the leaking of it months ago was on purpose to prepare people for what was eventually going to come, because we haven't seen nowhere near the amount of somebody just tried to assassinate Justice Kavanaugh. So, you know, we got that going for us, but nothing compared to what happened in 2020 with George Floyd. So you're right. That could have been on purpose.
Yeah, well, Arizona was huge as well, too.
I never thought of it that way, really, because I just was thinking that they were just giving people time to make plans to destroy shit when it did happen. So I'm really surprised that they didn't. I don't know if maybe Four Doors More Whores might have a little something to do with that or not, you know. I would think twice about that shit if I was running out in the streets and I knew that Patriots were ready to stand up and defend their shit.
A little bit of FAFO going on down there. You never know, right? The decision. Yeah,
dude,
the decision.
I made
that
video on TikTok the other day. I made a TikTok on video, or you know, before I lost my account the other day. Not this one, but the other day. And that video had 10,000 views and 976 likes within like 45 minutes. And that's what I said. You know, I was like, hey, you motherfuckers can go out to the streets and you can whine and cry and do what you want. But don't forget, Kyle Rittenhouse still exists, and there's a lot more motherfuckers just like him. And I mean, I think that's probably what had something to do with my account going down the other day. But man, people thought that shit was funny, and I think
well,
it's
mm-hmm. as well.
I mean, that kind of opened the doors, and people were like, well, you know, they just set the precedent for that with the new red flag laws, this, that, and the other. But no, I think that might have scared some people. I know these liberals, that we ran Antifa out of my town. Within 45 minutes, they were asking the sheriffs to escort them out of our town. But I live in a populated town of about 30,000 people, and we have some rednecks out here, man. We had guys up on their back of their trucks with their ARs just sitting there at the courthouse, and guys walking around with all their, I mean, hell, they from ARs to muskets walking around the courthouse, you know, probably about 500 Patriots up there. And I don't claim some of them Patriots because, you know, some of these old men from around here are still racist, and that's why I don't go up there and join any of it, because they were up there protesting a statue that we have up there from the Civil War. That's why Antifa came. But like I said, they got ran out of our town in 45 minutes, and they asked the police that they fucking don't back, they asked them to escort them out of town so that nothing happened to them. So they won't come to our town, but I just wonder if, you know, after Kyle Rittenhouse, if more of them kind of think, well, what happens if I get shot, you know?
Right. And, you know, you just brought up red flag laws. And, you know, President Poopy Pants just signed that new gun bill into law. And I saw a meme earlier today, and I've got it right here in front of me, and it says, "How red flag laws kill peaceful people." And this is Randy. Randy posts a harmless picture of himself and son at the gun range. Karen sees Randy's post and calls local state agents to report suspicions that Randy might be a risk to the community. The biased state agents look at Randy's social media and use newly granted red flag powers to claim that Randy is a dangerous threat. Without allowing Randy a defense, state agents and the local court determine it's okay to confiscate his guns and use deadly force. Randy is awakened at 3 a.m. by loud crashing noises, flashbangs, and death threats while his wife and son scream in terror. Randy is murdered while instinctively trying to protect his family. Like, that's exactly what the fuck is going to happen with these red flag laws. You post anything, and somebody who doesn't like you can say, oh, he's a dangerous threat.
Well,
and then all of a sudden you end up dead?
That's why they're eliminating us off of social media and off of, you know, taking away our First Amendment rights as well. Because once that shit starts happening, if people can't talk about it, how are people going to know about it? So
exactly.
If we're out on TikTok saying, hey, did you see the guy in Delaware earlier that got his fucking rights taken away from red flag laws or got murdered because they came in and tried to take his guns away? If nobody sees it, nobody's talking about it, then it's just going to happen all over the fucking country and nobody's going to know about it. And
well,
so if they eliminate us, you know.
It reminds me of the 200,000 defensive uses of firearms in the United States every year. And that's another thing they never speak about, is how many people protect their families and save their lives with their firearms. All they want to talk about is the people that were victimized. They don't want to talk about the people that got their power took their power back, I should say.
Well, it's just like with abortion. They won't talk about the, like you said, the 1% or the 2% that actually needs abortion. They talk about that, just like the guns. They just bring up the murders and this, that, and the other. They don't have a brain that works to where they can discuss both sides. They can only discuss the one side. I'll look at numbers. I love math. And so I'll look at statistics, and I'll look at numbers just like the abortion. You know, when you have 34,000 abortions in one state, and 33 of them were from rape. I mean, that's no different than the guns. I mean, murder takes up a very small percentage. You know, you have suicide, you have accidents. There's so many different things, but they're not willing to look at that. They don't care. They, just like Chad said earlier, they want our Second Amendment, because once they have our Second Amendment, none of the other fucking amendments matter. Nothing. Nothing in that Constitution matters. It's just a piece of paper once they get the Second Amendment.
Well, Dave Chappelle said that in one of his stand-up. I believe it was Dave Chappelle that said, you know, the reason for the Second Amendment is to protect the rest of them. Because, Michael, you're 100% right. If the Second Amendment goes, nothing else matters. If we don't have the right to defend ourselves, then nothing else matters. They can come and do whatever they want. Ask Australia. I mean, do you guys remember all of that crazy shit that we were seeing coming out of Australia last year? And I've got a friend and his wife who are moving back to the States because of all the shit that's going on in Australia. And so, I mean, once, like up there in Canada with Trudeau, my blood boiled for you Canadians whenever I heard Trudeau say, you don't have the right to defend yourself. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, that, like, honestly, any intelligent human being who heard that should have been pissed off. Like, absolutely, you have the right to defend yourself by any means necessary. And so, you know, when they're and this is going to go to the Trump thing. Trump said they're coming for your guns, and then what happens 2 years after he leaves office, they pass one of the biggest gun legislations that we've seen in a very long time. They are trying to come for the guns. So anybody who is a military veteran who suffers from PTSD, guess what? Your guns are gone. Anybody who suffers or has been diagnosed with any type of mental illness, your guns are gone. Like, that's how they're going to, like, that's the only way they're going to confiscate or start to confiscate guns from the American people is by doing it the way that they're doing it right now.
Yeah.
Well, the VA's got all that information on mental health and PTSD, and if you've had treatment and all of this stuff, that'll go right into your red flag laws absolutely immediately, 100%.
I think they'll start looking at just different types of medications people are on and decide, well, if you're on this type of medication for depression or if you're on this for bipolar or this for whatever, that's just another door, also another avenue that they'll use. And, I don't know. It's a very, very slippery slope that we're on, and I hope that we have some people that are ready to fight. And I don't mean that in a physical way. I mean – We have a lot of work to do, and you know, like I said, we've been winning some stuff in the Supreme Court. If we get loud enough, if we do actually have an election in 2022, we'll see what happens with that. We know where we stand on that, but if we do, it would be a red wave, and we can turn this country around pretty fucking quick. We can stop Biden from doing anything else for the rest of his time there, you know. It just depends. If our republic actually works the way it's supposed to, then we still have a fighting chance. And if not, then we may have another talk here in a couple months.
I agree. And especially love the fact that you called it our republic. We definitely need a lot of people to become extremely vocal right now, because we heard this going into the 2020 election that the silent majority was going to be, you know, showing up and silent majority is going to decide this election. Well, the silent majority, y'all need to start talking and start talking everywhere, because the only way that you said red wave, and I completely agree. Full disclosure, I was a registered independent. I changed my voting to Republican just so I can vote in the primaries now. I've always kind of leaned right, but I am a pretty big citrus. Like, I will not go too far to the right, and I will never go too far to the left, because those people have lost their fucking minds. But so I'm a registered independent, and hold on. I completely lost my train of thought on that one. I'm sorry, guys. What was I talking about before that?
Happens to the best of us.
Yeah, what was I talking about before that?
You were talking about going on. Oh, well, we were talking about a red wave in 2022.
Oh, red wave. Yeah. It's got to be okay. That's okay. And we're back. It has to be a populist movement. It has to be a populist movement. I don't give a shit. Like, I like Tulsi Gabbard. Have you guys ever listened to Tulsi Gabbard? She's a Democrat, and like, I can listen to her and be like, yeah, you make sense.
Hold on just a second, though. A little information on Tulsi. She is a WEF graduate. She studied under Klaus Schwab. And man, I'm going to tell you, back when I was a little
did
younger.
Did she really? I did not know that.
She did. And I used to listen to Hillary. And, dude, before I was more right-wing, I used to, like, when Hillary was younger, man, I thought Hillary was a lot like Tulsi. She talks like Tulsi does now. Before she went far left, that's how she talked. And you know, I thought, man, how the fuck did I ever like that evil witch? But But yeah, you have to look into Tulsi a little bit harder because she is. She's just like Trudeau. She's a Klaus Schwab fucking graduate, bro. And
I did not know that. Thank you for letting me know.
Yeah.
I do enjoy the way Tulsi speaks, too. I think she would have been way better for the job than old Kamala, but Camel Toe there.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
You know, and it goes deeper than that, right? Like, we know the countries that are aligned with these people. They've been working on this since the end of the Cold War, right? That's why you see the indoctrinations in our post-secondary institutions. It's communism never died. The Iron Curtain never fell. And CCP and communist Russia never went away. What they did was they sent their brightest and their best and brightest over to our universities and started indoctrinating kids. And we're seeing the fallout of that coming up 50 years later.
That's also the same thing with Nazism. Nazism never went away. I mean, Operation Paperclip.
Oh.
We brought all of their
Paperclip.
Best scientists to the United States of America. Like, people think that the Third Reich fell and then it just disappeared. Nah. It spread out all over the world because of the people who were not involved. Because how many people were actually tried in the Nuremberg trials within like 19 or 20?
Yeah, but none of them
was
worth
it about
any,
that
significance. None of the big shots.
No,
ever got,
no.
Anybody who was worth anything hopped on a boat and went to Argentina.
Never
gone.
So. You know, so, yeah, we had our little parade and our little, you know, trials and whatnot, but that ideology never died. And so, like, I have this theory that, like, okay, because people say that, you know, communism and fascism were revolutionary ideas at the time. I have a theory that those two ideas have somehow found a way to come together, and that's exactly what we're seeing in the world today, is the merger of those two ideals into basically one, because, you know, fascism was, you know, the corporate control over everything that was going on. Joseph Goebbels with his media, because, you know, Joseph Goebbels would be very impressed with how our media operates today. With the propaganda, the lies, the bullshit.
Absolutely.
And then communism, right? He would be like sitting back there in the corner clapping his hands, like watching, going, yay, I did it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're kind of seeing like the merger of the two ideals, because both of those don't want freedom for the people.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, right? Because if you look at the way that Xi Jinping is running China right now, they came to a stark, harsh, and definite realization and full stopped and went closer to capitalism, but they kept their control over the people. What we're seeing is the exact opposite, right? So as the Chinese are moving away from a more authoritarian style of communism, these communists in North America and Western societies think we should go towards that. Well, when the only successful, somewhat successful communist nation in the world, the closest thing to ever making it work, is starting to look at the fact of saying, well, we got to be more westernized. We have to look at more capitalistic things. We have to give people more freedoms, because they are. It sucks to say it, but they are, right? The people that are the loudest, the most annoying, with the funny colored hair and the lip piercings, are over here yelling that we need to be more like them as they move away. So maybe they are merging closer together, but I think it's for the worst for Western civilization, probably better for Asia.
Yeah. On that note, we do have a caller calling in tonight. Logic and Libby from TikTok. She's one of my favorite creators. I found her about a year ago. Kim, do you want to go ahead and let Logic in right quick and let Logic introduce herself and ask any questions, or she's got some stuff she wants to tell us about too, I think, right?
Yes, she does. I will. I'm just brushing down my pointy hair and taking up my lip piercings real quick here. I'm just kidding, Jimmy. I do not have pointy hair, nor do I have lip piercings. We have Logic and Liberty with us this evening. She is very excited to join us and to tell us about a new initiative she has started. Good evening.
Hi, guys. Hi,
hey,
how
Logic.
Are you?
Hey, Rose. Doing good, girl. I got banned again today, but good to talk to you.
Oh, shoot. I'll have to find the new account then again, huh?
Yeah, we'll start one tomorrow, you know. Start fresh. New day, new me.
Well, you're a trooper. Thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am. Always what do you got going on?
So I don't know if you guys know Right Side Batty from TikTok. Her and I are launching a podcast. Yeah, we're launching a podcast together. And it's going to be called Brace for Impact. Our goal is, because I think a lot of us know what the issues are, right? And there are plenty of places you can go to discuss the issues and hash it out. And we want to do something a little bit different. And that is to have a podcast that is strictly solution-based, because we are going to be facing some tough times ahead. A lot of us have eyes wide open about that. Food shortages, you know, inflation, gas, people being able to afford just day-to-day expenses. And so I think it's important to give Americans and even worldwide people the resources, the information at their fingertips to grow their own food, to pursue community involvement, because I do think we really need to rebuild just community in general in this country. And then, you know, talk about basic civics, because very clearly over the last week, many Americans don't understand civics in this country. And, you know, just cover a variety of topics and try to build a community. So it's going to be a little bit of a fresh take, but I'm super excited about it. And, you know, I hope people find value in what we're going to try to put out there.
Awesome. I love Batty. I've been following Batty for a long time. Right now we're stuck on Garden Talk, and I love that. she's always brought a different view to a lot of different subjects, and she's a great patriot. So I'm excited to see what y'all do. That's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, we're pumped about it. And I don't know if people are on TikTok, but you can go to, I think her new username is Batty Can. And yep. I'm Logic and Liberty. We have links in our bios. You can also find Brace for the number 4 Impact Pod on TikTok if people want information on how to watch us.
I was an early adopter of that page. I don't know if you've seen that. And the one and only Kim actually alerted me to this. Yes, you've got at least 2 of my accounts over there. I'm excited to see what you guys do. Both of you guys are fantastic people. I always love your content. And I'm going to be on the edge of my seat for this one. I can't wait to see what you guys are doing. Where are you guys going to be? Is it going to be on Apple Podcasts? Like, how are people going to listen?
So we're going to use it's going to stream on YouTube, but then we'll have StreamYard, so people can, you know, we'll see comments on YouTube and everything, but we'll be streaming on YouTube. We'll have all the past episodes there. We are going to be posting, you know, resources and additional information on freedom515.com. I'm going to add a portion for Brace for Impact. And so, yeah, that's where to find us. And then, you know, we'll probably go live on the podcast or on the TikTok account as we're doing the podcast.
Well, I'm actually kind of excited, Doc House here. I want you to send me a friend request and let's talk. I am building – this is a great time to do the plug that we talked about, Michael. I am building a website right now called patriotwire.org. I'm going to be launching my own podcast myself on July 4th. But also through the website, we are going to be hosting other podcasts, and we have the ability to not only send it out through just the website, but through every single type of platform. So your YouTube, your Rumble, your Apple, your Spotify. So we're building that infrastructure right now, and I would love to get a chance to talk to you and see if there's a possibility that, you know, I might be able to help you out with that. And, like, I'm really excited to hear what you ladies have to say. So, but, yeah, reach out to me. Send me a follow on TikTok, and let's talk.
I will do that. I love that. Thank you.
Very welcome.
That's what we do here. We bring patriots together. I love it. I do.
Well,
that's why it's called Patriots United, right?
Damn straight.
I love it.
Damn
well, and I won't take any more of your guys' time, but I appreciate you letting me call in, and I love what you guys are doing. Of course, Jimmy and I are pretty close buddies on the TikTok, so I think I just love that we're going to need a lot of approaches and a lot of and a lot of different platforms and personalities and voices and everything to help bring this country back. And so I appreciate all the efforts that everyone is doing to try to make, you know, a difference.
Awesome.
I appreciate
well,
you,
Logic.
And don't feel like you have to leave. Yeah, don't feel like you have to leave. You can definitely stick around. But
okay, I can.
But
hang out.
Thanks for coming on. That's awesome.
I didn't want to feel I was interrupting.
Yeah.
So. Sounds like an infomercial.
No, hang out.
You might better hang around a little bit.
Okay,
and since we are on the plug version of this, I might as well go ahead and get my plug out too, so we can get this out of the way. We started an initiative called Camp for All after a large Canadian distributor of beverages decided to make decisions based on people's vaccination status about sending little ones to camp. So we started an initiative. It's a federally incorporated not-for-profit called campforall.ca. Head over to the website, check it out. You can donate or nominate or even apply yourselves over there too. We're sending little ones to camp on our dime, on all Patriots' dimes. And if you guys want to help us out with that initiative, definitely go over there. You can learn all about who's involved with this and how you guys can get in there to help. So we do appreciate everything. The initiative's going great. We've got 10 now, amazing board members. We had another one jump on at the end of it here. And nine, sorry, my bad. He's actually listed on the board now. But, yeah, check it out, camp4all.ca, guys. Cool.
I love it, man.
So how are things in Colorado in regards to this new RVW announcement, Logic? What have you been seeing on the ground over there?
So I left the Denver area several years ago. You know, in Colorado, we're not truly that affected by it. Our state legislators passed a bill a few months back in anticipation of this decision coming out that essentially says fetuses have no rights in Colorado, so abortions are legal essentially up to birth. So that's where we're at here in Colorado.
That's insane.
Not that I agree with that.
That is absolutely insane. I mean, this goes back to like Robert Northam from Virginia. Whenever he was asked about the situation, and he's like, "Well, we're going to make the baby comfortable, and then we're going to have a conversation between the mother and the doctor." It's like the baby is born, and then you're just going to try to snap the spinal cord. Like, that's absolute murder. And I think that is one of the reasons why the right has become so pissed off about this subject, is because the left has gone to this extreme level. Partial birth abortions, really? Like, no, that's legitimately murder in the first degree to kill a human child after it has been born. I can't believe Colorado is like that. Like, I'm sorry.
Yep, you and me both. Yeah. And, I think it is indicative of the pendulum, right? Because you see the pendulum has gone way far left, and now we're seeing things start to come back. And it's just, I mean, how many times have we been through this cycle in the U.S.? It's constant.
It is. It's a back and forth. Logic, we've all said
it seems like
not,
almost every 8 years.
You're right. That's
it
not
is,
what you
yeah, it's
for.
Every
what
8 years.
What are your thoughts on Roe versus Roe v. Wade?
So I feel like I'm kind of unique in the fact that I'm not emotionally driven by these types of things. I look at the facts. I look at the, you know, it's, I believe it was the right decision. I believe Roe v. Wade was a shoddy decision from the jump about 50 years ago. And so I think it was the right thing to do. And I understand there's a lot of pain points across this country because a lot of people don't understand how our government works. I believe in state sovereignty. So I think it is a big win in that regard. And there was an attorney on TikTok who I follow who brought up a good point that I do think it may very well encourage much more involvement and engagement at the local level because people are not going to pay attention.
I agree.
You know, if it is somewhere that it's like, oh my gosh, it's 9 months, that's crazy. We need to vote in some people who will amend that to something more reasonable, and figure out a way to meet in the middle. And so I do think ultimately it's a good thing. Obviously, you know, there's going to be fear and emotionally charged discussions and actions around it. But I think if people could approach it just more rationally, and look at the big picture, I think it could be seen as a good thing.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I thought that the other day. I thought, and I made a couple of videos that were kind of calloused, but, you know, I'm pretty aggravated with some of the videos that I've seen about the Second Amendment lately, so I just came after them pretty hard. But I do think it's a good thing because the left is going to have conversations with us. Whether they want to or not, now they have to, if they want anything to be done. So we need to go into it with an open mind and not just be like, hey, we won, fuck you. We need to go in and talk. And maybe this can be something that opens up a little bit more conversation about other things. I don't know. Most of the liberals that I know aren't on the talking level. They don't want to discuss things, but this will force people to talk because they're not going to have enough, there's no other choice. In states like that I live in Colorado, it won't matter, but in Texas, in Florida, and, you know, in some of these other states, they're going to have conversations with us if they want something done.
Right.
It's as simple as that. And I hope that they see when we start having these conversations that we're not the bigots and the assholes that they think we are. Like I said earlier, I think most of us can agree that in a medical situation, if the mom's going to die, then she should have the choice to abort pregnancy. And most of those babies don't, you know, they don't go full term anyways. And I think in the case of rape or incestual rape or something like that, the mom should have the choice. And I think a lot of people think like I do, but, you know, I think that they'll, once we start having these conversations, they're going to realize we're not as empathetic as they think we are, but they have drove us this way. Like I think Doc was talking about a minute ago with these late term abortions. And I mean, it's, they've caused us to react the way that we're acting. And we're going to have the conversations now in some of these states, and I like it.
Yeah, I would argue that I hesitate to look at it as like win versus loss because I think America's losing across the board right now, regardless of what happens.
Total agreement.
Yeah, like we're losing in general, and so I think we're going to have to start to drop our weapons a little bit in these conversations and hopefully find those who are reasonable and rational. And it's just going to have to happen. I think
that's where people like you and Batty are going to really make a difference, because me,
I hope so.
I get emotional and I get, you know, I cuss like a sailor anyways. My dad was a sailor. Like, what can I say? So I get emotional. And when I get emotional, I bring in words that people don't like. And I'm very direct. So I've listened to you. The first time I followed you, I was listening to your live and I was watching you talk for 15, 20 minutes, not in a stalker way or anything, but you know, I liked you and I thought, wow, this girl, logic and liberty, it's facts. You know, it's going to take people like y'all to help open up the eyes of some of these people that don't want to listen and somebody that has the patience to talk to them, because I don't.
Well,
can I interject on this one?
Jump in, Doc F.
Yeah, let me interject on this one. I definitely, you know, will say that I agree that the best way and the best plan forward is going to be dialogue. But let me ask you a question, and I want an answer from all of you. Is there really any dialogue that you can have with someone who thinks that it's okay to have a partial birth abortion or a late term abortion? Do you think that dialogue that you could have with that person who believes in that type of ideology, do you think you're going to be able to change their minds?
Well, if I were to open up a dialogue with somebody that was, had that current mindset, I'd like, not that I agree with them by any means, but I'd want to know how they came to that conclusion, because I think it's pretty extreme. And I think most people can agree with something like that. Seems more like a visceral response, or like a almost like a deep down hatred towards something, like they've been hurt before. And I think what you'd find is if you'd start a dialogue with that, you'd notice that these people are probably emotionally damaged to a very high degree, which my analytical side at that point would be like, there's no fixing this. There's no talking our way. I've been trying to do this bridge the gap thing since we started our little camp initiative with some people that are on the left that seem to be pretty extreme. And you know what? They're people. You can talk to them. But like when it comes down to issues, they are not willing to budge. I haven't met one. Well, I've met one out of a dozen that are willing to budge and have a conversation. So I think there's going to be a big vetting process. I think it's going to be a long time, and I think the left feels the same way too. Like, who's a reasonable person? Who can we have a conversation with, right? But the expectation can't be I'm going to change their mind, you know? So, but you need to talk.
But see, that's the difference there, Jimmy, is – us on the right, we're willing to have a conversation.
There's
we're
some who
willing
aren't.
To sit down.
There's some who aren't.
Well, some high profiles, okay, whatever. But most of the people that you come across on the right, I mean, the statistic on people who lean right, where they get their news from is, yeah, it's like 60% right-leaning, but then there's another like 40% where like we go and like try to understand what these people, you know, are saying and what they're thinking. Like I am totally down to sit in front of a person and have a conversation about issues that we may disagree on, but when you try to present our side's like actual legitimate back in front of them, they completely shut down, and that's the problem. That is the complete problem right there is that the left has gone so far to the left that you could tell them that the sky is blue, but if CNN is reporting that the sky is green, they're going to look you in the face and say the sky is green. So where are we supposed to go with that? How are we supposed to get through to that, to those people who have had their minds manipulated so far by the people, by the tell of vision? How are we supposed to get through to those people? And that's kind
we're
of the problem that we're facing.
I think
we're
some
not
of them, like the
some of
yeah, exactly.
Ahead,
like I think there's a small portion of people who like whoever is, you know, partial birth abortion supporters, I, you know, those aren't the people who will probably even come to the table, and that's okay, because not everyone will come to the table. But I would say 60 to 70% of America is willing to sit at the table and be like, okay, let's like, it's like a family who's gone through a big fight. Like, okay, let's hash this out. We've got to figure some things out, probably compromise on some other things. But I think, you know, when you talk about like CNN and all that, I mean, CNN plus flopped. So CNN is not doing well. In regards to their popularity and their viewership. And I think that's indicative of the direction the country's going, is a lot of Americans have just had enough. They've had enough with the sensationalism. They've had enough with the division. And so it's just, you know, really seeking out those folks that you can have reasonable conversations with. And I think the more that respectful, calm dialogue is on display, the more it will encourage those folks who still might be, you know, a little prickly and not willing to even have a conversation, but it might, you know, just be the change you want to see in the world, I guess, is ultimately what I'm saying.
I think a lot of the people that are pro-choice are pro-choice because it cuts out, you know, a lot of people. It doesn't just cut out the girls that are using it for birth control. So I think when we get to the table with the ones that are actually, you know, not far left, that are in the middle, you know, that don't lean, you know, extreme. And because the right extreme, you can't talk to them either. If you guys have noticed, like,
no,
there's several people on the right that are no better than the ones on the left. There's several people on the right that I have blocked on TikTok because you can't fucking talk to them. They're just as bad. They believe one thing only, and they won't listen. So I think once we get to the table and they realize that we're not as like I said, as one way thinking as they think that we are, and that we can have a conversation and that we can actually agree on some of the things, some of the points that they want to make, I think they'll realize, you know, and these conversations are coming, guys. Like I said, in some of these states, what is it, 17 states, 25 states, I think, they are going to have these conversations. That there's no way around it, you know? And so I think, I don't know, we're going to have to get past the win and loss thing. And I'm guilty of it. I got on TikTok and I made videos about how we're winning, and it's not a winning or losing thing, because like you said, America is fucking losing. No matter, it's not a red, it's not a blue, it's not Republican, it's not liberal. You know, it's none of that. We are losing as a nation, and until we unite, we're going to keep losing. And it says it there, united we stand, divided we fall. And we keep staying. We stay divided, we're going to fall. And we're very divided right now.
Well, let me bring up the fact that we're also talking with Jimmy, who's up in Canada, and who is experiencing a lot of the same shit that we're experiencing down here in the States. And one of the things that I love about this podcast is that you guys have got other people up in, like, in another country that think the same exact way that we do down here in the States. So, you know, Jimmy, like, do you see the same type of division along left versus right that we are down here in the United States, or like, what are you seeing up there?
Absolutely. There's a huge left-right paradigm. The way I like to look at it, guys, is like this. It's like the blades of like a propeller or a helicopter, right? The further you get out to the edges, the harder it is to hold on, right? But the wolves that are clinging towards the center are going to be able to be the ones that are done by the time the gas runs out, right? So, and just like every good fight, it should end in a beer at a bar. You know what I mean? Like, so yeah, we can claim wins. But the goal should be, we should be trying to find, like, that's the whole reason why you have an opposition party or you have a party in power, is you're supposed to be able to try to find somewhere. And all fights do end at some time. And I did notice, though, guys, over the last couple of months, and I've noticed north and south of the border here. Yeah, we say south of the border in Canada. I know it sounds like Mexico to you guys, but it's okay. But so I
hey, hey, hold on. At least you have control of your southern border.
It's the largest, longest uncontrolled border in the world. But no, we were working on some stuff. We were working on. It's literally wide open. Like, if you really wanted to get down or up, you could. But we were working on some stuff with some people, bridging the gap. And yeah, there's some people that you can't talk to, but there's some people willing to have a conversation. But I think, you know, you guys are at the point right now with this thing that's happening down there, where it's at a fever pitch. They've just overturned something that has been commonplace for 50 years. And you've got your president, Joe Biden, up there or down there saying that women have lost a constitutional right. And this is the kind of nonsense rhetoric that gets people inflamed, right? And, like, we go back to those low-information voters again. This guy is up there. You know what? It's absolute propaganda.
Yeah. Sorry, I was just saying, the same president that just said that the Second Amendment wasn't absolute is claiming now that abortion was covered under the Constitution. But go ahead, Jimmy.
Well, that's what's dangerous about that kind of narrative, right? Like, and Trudeau just did it himself with the Canadians don't have the right to defend themselves. All of this nonsense. It's a dog and pony show. And unfortunately, some people, you know, especially people that are more emotionally decision-based, they have more emotional decision-based making, they'll fall for this stuff. You know what I mean? Like, it's interesting. I seen a report come out the other day, some of the leftist stuff here in Canada, piled on it, and one of the polling companies that actually asked a bunch of conspiratorial questions to people who decided not to partake in the great experiment, and they're just ki-yi-yipping, uting, hooting and hollering over how conspiratorial that anti-vaxxers are, right? Now, no one asked me, and I don't necessarily determine myself to be or consider myself to be anti-vax, but one of the questions on this friggin' thing that they ask Canadians is, do you think birds are fake? So apparently there's this spoof conspiracy theory that's going out to try to find out who the whack jobs are that has a couple people in the world think that birds don't exist. They think they're all government drones.
Have you not seen the TikTok page?
Yeah,
I've seen that. I've seen it. I've seen it. It's so funny.
But they asked a bunch of anti-vaxxers or non-vaccinated people. I think that's a thing. But this is I'll phrase it or frame it in that way. Things like, do you believe in the moon landing? Do you think 9/11 was an inside job? Like all the classics,
yes.
You know what I mean? All the the left just had a heyday with it. But I wanted to let them know that nobody asked me. And I'm not going to say how many of them I believe in, but you know, there's a couple, I got a couple that I'll actually listen in on, but, it's just, it was actually what it led me to believe. So they say that, okay, so people that didn't want to follow government mandates and all this stuff, well, they're obviously crazy conspiracy theorists, but I looked at it differently. I was like, wow, you guys comply a lot. You don't question anything. You think the television's always right. You think the newspaper isn't lying to you. You think the $600 million that the Trudeau government paid to our national media isn't being used against you as a weapon. Like, that's what they think, right? So they completely missed the point on it, as far as I'm concerned. But this is what we're getting. So the left and right up here, to answer your question, yeah, it's very divided, separated. The Ottawa protests didn't help the left out a lot. They're still talking convoy, and I'm like, bro, this was February. Like, can you just drop it? It's almost like every time you go into a live on TikTok.
That's your January 6th, huh?
I was just going to say that.
They tried hard. They lied. So they were just in Parliament the other day saying that the truckers locked people in an apartment building and set fire to it. Well, that never happened. The CBC, which is our state government, state-run government news, wrote a story saying that there was loaded firearms there. Well, the police had come out and said, that's not true. We didn't find any evidence. So every little single thing that they said to try to turn this into some sort of fake insurrection, just like your January 6th was a fake insurrection, has backfired on them brutally. It's actually kind of pathetic. But I think the average Canadians are sick and tired of what they put us through. So left versus right might go away. So if we're looking at lockdowns coming back in the fall, which I think is going to happen in Canada, 100% think it's going to. That's why they're taking our guns away and trying to change all these rules and censor the internet. If that does come back, I don't think we're going to see near the amount of compliance that we had in the first 2 years. Canadians are pretty good, but I think we're tired of it.
Yeah, these people
that's
are the
pretty
ones
good
that are
to hear.
They say that we're that people that follow Trump or the Republicans are the cult, but we are definitely not the cult. These are the same fucking people that would have drank the punch in Jonestown. You know, they are. It's no different, man. These are the people that will follow and do whatever they are told by their government, because the government is never wrong and they are always right. And there's been, for hundreds of years, there's been governments like this. For hundreds of years, these governments have failed. For thousands of years, they've done this and it's failed. It's communism, socialism never... It always takes over when the people let it. And we're the last defense, guys. I'm telling you. If the United States falls, the NWO, the WEF, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, the big families will have their way with everyone. And there will never be another country like the United States or like Canada was, or, you know, it'll be over.
Well,
we're the first domino.
Back when we lost ourselves, this country lost ourselves right when you guys, you know, had that in and around the time where this Roe v. Wade ruling came in. And interestingly enough, that's when our current prime minister's father was destroying this country. And, you know, you look back into the 70s and the 80s with Pierre Elliott Trudeau, he also had the highest inflation rate ever in Canada at around 7%. Well, now his son, or at least his stepson, if you know what I'm saying, is doing the exact same thing. The ideology keeps going on. So
You know, it's funny that we're seeing a lot of historical references going on in both of our countries. You know, not a lot of people like really know that this is not the first time that we've seen a BLM. The Black Liberation Movement was definitely a terrorist organization back in the 1960s and the 1970s. The Weather Underground, which is basically what Antifa is today, was going back then. So, you know, it's funny to hear you talk about, you know, Trudeau's father, you know, overseeing Canada back Step at the down. Same time that we were seeing like leftist attack inside of the United States at the same time. So, you know, Bill Ayers was the leader of the Weather Underground, and Obama was a student of Bill Ayers. So a lot of what we're seeing right now is, I like to say this, okay, you always hear people say that history repeats itself. I tend to think that history rhymes. You know, we're seeing a rhyming of history with the rise of Antifa, the rise of Black Lives Matter, from the same thing that we saw back in the 60s and 70s.
Well, and it calmed down. So there was the swine flu back then. But even if you jump back, so we're looking 50 years, history is repeating. And then 100 years prior to that, there was the Spanish flu. We all know what came after
flu.
That. And that was, that was a big war. And look what's happening now with all the unrest that's happening, especially with Turkey right now. They're bolstering and posturing pretty hard right now. And I don't think anybody should take their eyes off what the Turks are doing. The Turks are probably a big indicator of what's going to fall next or come next. Next, I think, would be India and Pakistan, and then after that, probably China, and then Russia will join in after that. I think they'll be the last ones to the party, personally. But if we're going to war, I think that's the way she's going to go.
I'll agree.
Really far. Go ahead, Doc.
I will 100% agree with that. You know, most people who aren't, you know, paying attention or who know absolutely nothing about fucking history know about the Turks' involvement in World War One. And you're right, man, like the fall of the Ottoman Empire. Now we're seeing Turkey start to mobilize. I honestly think we are definitely standing on the precipice of a World War III. And like Albert Einstein said, I don't know what weapons World War III will be fought with, but World War IV will be fought with sticks and stones. So God help us all if that actually comes to fruition. You know, internationally, I know we've talked a lot about domestic politics and everything that's going on inside of our own countries, but the international conflicts that are going on right now are very, very concerning.
Yeah. Biblical, some might say.
Some could call this the second coming, you know what I mean? I think it's been talked about in Revelations as well, Mike, and it's interesting that you brought that up because I was thinking the same thing. But I think the powers that be that have been controlling our societies globally for the last 140 years, I think they're getting a little restless, right? Like, we can see that with gas prices. We can see that with inflation. Look at go back in history and look at OPEC in the 70s and what came in and around there. You know, there was Vietnam. Right, this is civil unrest at its highest, right? And we're starting to push people to the point where mowing your lawn might be a flex, and that's an issue. You're gonna make you start taking away food from people's kids. Dads are gonna start getting upset, and we know what the mama bears have been asking us dads to do for quite some time now. It's been 2 years of men sitting back and saying, it'll be okay. Well, moms are pissed off, and there's only so much time that you can listen to a pissed off woman before you have to go do something to protect your family too.
Well,
so a lot of things are at play.
Jimmy, let me interject on that one. The reason for the French Revolution was because the women got pissed off and took to the streets. So once the women get pissed off and the women are the ones that are going, like, yo, y'all motherfuckers need to do something, that's when everything really gets wild.
I was going to say on most of my pages. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Logic. I want to hear Logic.
So I think you're absolutely right. And I think that's why you've seen a dramatic decrease in enrollment numbers in schools. Because they pissed off the mama bears. And
yep.
if there's one group
yep.
of the population that I firmly believe you don't want to piss off, because we will get shit done and we are extraordinarily well organized and detailed, it's the mama bears. So I think they should kind of tread lightly in that regard.
I was going to say, on a lot
don't
of
don't tread on the mama bears.
I was going to say, I have more women on my pages, and this is no lie, that have said that they are ready to go to the streets and fight for their kids than I have men. Like, no lie.
Same here.
And that's
same here. Same
yep,
here.
Me too.
These women. And I have five sisters, guys. Like, women don't fuck around. Like, y'all don't know what I went through.
Nope.
You know y'all are crazy, and y'all are smart, and you're always a step ahead, and I'm not going to lie, you know. They don't want that wrath, because when the mama bears get organized and they start telling the daddy bears what to do and where to go and where to be, and we say, yes, ma'am, it's not going to be good.
And we do.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Anybody else find it interesting, too, the women on the left versus the women on the right, their appearances and the way that they handle themselves and their composure and all of that, too?
Oh, 100%.
I see a lot of women switch over from left to right that probably didn't want to be surrounded by a bunch of college students.
I'm very proud of our purple, green-haired, nose-wearing Patriots, though. You know how many I've seen?
Yes.
I have a couple goth girls like following me and mm-hmm. saying facts and this, and I'm like, what the fuck? Where did you come from? But
well, and
we're making a difference.
The hippies.
We've made a
the
difference.
Hippies
That's
came
why they
to...
won't let me on there.
Probably. Well,
yeah.
the hippies and
I mean,
you know
right?
the
yeah.
like anti-establishment folks after all the vaccine mandates and whatnot, they, you know, you saw a unification with a lot of people on the right. And I think you're just going to continue to see more and more of that as the left doubles down on this, like, extreme progressive agenda. I don't think it's going to serve them well in the end, because they do have full faith in the American people.
Yeah, and people are going to – they're going to have to seriously sit back and look in the mirror and say, can I go to sleep at night and wake up? Can I pray to my God at night and still defend this? You know, it's going to get to a point where you can't be a Christian and be on the left, because the way that they are pushing it. And used to, you know, it wasn't like that, you know. And I hate left and right. I fucking do. I hate that we have to have a left and that we have to have a right. And, you know, I mean, I know that people have different opinions and that, but I just feel like if we could all just fucking adult, we wouldn't need all that shit, you know.
We should just call it what it is, and we'll call it right and wrong. I'm glad I'm on the right side.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, for
I mean,
sure.
I don't entirely disagree on certain things. But on that note, I've got to hop off here and put some littles to bed, speaking of Mama Bear. So I appreciate
you
guys having me
Mama
on.
Bear.
Thank you for the conversation.
Logic, it was good talking to you. Make sure you follow me on TikTok, and let's talk, okay?
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Awesome. Call
All right,
anytime.
Have a good night.
We will.
Bye.
Open floor for you, girl. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you.
Yes,
she's
fantastic. She's absolutely
she's
lovely.
Awesome.
One person that it didn't matter how many accounts I ever lost or how far I went, I want to make sure that I never lose contact with her, even if I'm off the app. She's just lovely. Fantastic person.
Yeah.
Super intelligent.
Okay. That's the first time I've actually gotten a chance to talk to her. So I didn't know who she was, but she definitely has a very good viewpoint on things. And I look forward to seeing if, you know, maybe she'll join the PatriotWire.org team. But yeah, she was great.
Yeah. Awesome, man. I've been following her for at least the last 10 accounts. So I ran across her live one night, and she caught my attention, man. She's a pretty girl, and she's fucking, she spits facts, dude. And she doesn't talk about it if she doesn't know what the fuck she's talking about. So that's what I like. So, Harsh News, man, how are you tonight? I see him on the chat board. We got John Smitty, Robin Gravel, my girl.
Let's go, guys. Yeah. What's up, fellow Canadians? How's it going, guys?
Let's go.
How are you now?
I love it, man. Yeah, I love our chat room. I sit here and just look at it, and sometimes I get lost in the chat whenever I'm listening to you guys talk. So I gotta pay attention to what's going on, or else I get lost. You know, a little ADD going on or something.
There you go.
I think
I was just gonna like kind of fill on back into that one. Like, I love the fact that it's a podcast and a conversation between America and the and Canada too, you know. So I love that kind of unity between, you know, our countries, because we are so much similar, are so similar with each other that, you know, what's going on up there, like, I actually, like, give a shit what's going on in Canada, like, down in Mexico. I don't really care, because y'all been fucked up for a long time, but, but, if you're in Mexico and you're listening, I'm sorry, what's going on up there, like, I really do, I care about, because I've been following what's been going on in Canada and what Trudeau is doing, so, you know, I'm really glad to hear it.
What I'd say to Americans listening in on the chat right now or on the show is, Canada is a great indicator of where your country could go. We're probably 10 years ahead of you, maybe hopefully a little bit further than that, but one thing I will say about my friends there in the chat, Harsh News and John Smithy, I've had the pleasure of meeting both of these gentlemen in the flesh, and they're absolutely who they portray themselves to be while interacting on the app, too. Absolute, stunning, beautiful men, beautiful men, and true patriots as well. And if you guys aren't using the hashtag Patriots Without Borders, that was coined by my friend Harsh News. You can check out a lot of us over there. If you're cruising on the FYP or you don't see us in there, hit that hashtag Patriots Without Borders, and you'll see a boatload of us come up on that too. So if you want to find out what's going on in Canada, or you want to connect across the border, whether you're in the States or in Canada, great way to do so, guys. So make sure you check that out too. But awesome people. And I've met more good people on this app. It's frustrating as it is to use, and how many times you lose your accounts and the trolls that come after you, and the being exposed to some crazy ideologies and weirdos. I've never used social media to the extent that I use this app. And I've been out to Alberta to meet people. I got people coming to my place for our Canada Day long weekend, which is, as I'm sure you guys know, July 1st, because we're first,
yep.
And you guys are the fourth, but yeah, that's okay. So, but
fucking Canadians. Man. Yeah, no, you're right, man. This app, and I get pissed off every time I get banned, but every time I get banned, I probably meet another 20 to 30 patriots that I set myself up with off of the app, and that we exchange phone numbers, and it's awesome. So in one way, it sucks getting banned, but in another, whenever you do get banned, you get to meet a whole new group of patriots, and you find the patriots that you really liked before. So I'm excited to see who I'm going to meet this next go-around. This one didn't last long enough. It only lasted 24 hours. So that kind of sucked, but
wow,
I was shocked, absolutely shocked. We were chatting. Mike and I were chatting, and I went to go back to check the chat, and the fucking said TikToker underneath, and I'm like, what the hell is going on here, man? Like, this is crazy.
Well, Brad,
did they even violate any of your videos?
No, I only had three videos, man.
Freedom Stick texted me. He texted me a picture, and it showed me that he had been banned. And I said, son of a bitch, already? So I got on there to see if his profile still showed up. And I logged in, and it said that I'd been logged out, and then my account, and then it said log in. So I logged in, and it said I was permanently banned. I was like, son of a bitch. So yeah, I made it 4 hours.
When I found Freedom Stick today, I did a duet with him, and he only had like 300 followers or something like that. And So I did a duet, and I even sent him a message. It was like, how long do you think you're going to last now? And I swear to God, he went from like 300 followers to like 1,000 followers within an hour.
Yep.
And then boom, gone.
Yep, gone. I asked him, he texted me his new account. And he had already friended me on there, and I said, do you want a boost or no? And he said, yeah, give me a boost. So I did a duet with him, and like you said,
boom, there you
about,
go.
I tagged him in several people's comment section that had duetted him before he lost his account. And so I was doing that,
yeah.
And everybody was pinning my post. And then, yeah, next thing I know, we're both down. So they don't like me.
He's an ally.
Tony.
He's
like
an
us,
ally.
So.
Let's get him, too. Well, we have a
yeah.
little bit of a surprise for us. Our friend Clayton Ratcliffe there. I'm sure you guys know Alberta Strong and Free up there and
yeah.
Southern Alberta by the Coots border. He finally went down at 26.5, and it was a joke because Clay never gets videos taken down. He never gets banned. You know what I mean? Because he's kind of even keeled in his delivery, flew under the radar for quite some time. But he lost his account at close to 26,000. And it was his very first one. He's been on the app for a while. We got him up I think it was like 2,700 followers in 4 hours or something like that. It was crazy. So Canada does love Clayton Ratcliffe, and if you aren't following Alberta Strong and Free 2.0, you can just search his @. It's his real name. He's not afraid of you trolls. It's Clayton Ratcliffe. You can find him over there and show him some love, and we'll get him back up to 25K again pretty soon here.
Yep, awesome. I'll friend him
That's
when I
awesome.
Get back on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the problem is. I think there's a lot of big stuff happening right now. And, I was talking to Packing Patriot earlier, Tony, and he was saying that he was talking to people on Instagram, and a lot of people apparently lost accounts today. It wasn't just me. It wasn't just Freedom. But there's a lot of stuff happening, and they don't want us talking about it. And so it's going to get worse.
Yeah, seven or eight big Canadian accounts that have been mainstays got yeeted pretty quick last week. So we knew it was coming. It's a mass exodus. They make us start again. They make us look like we have a smaller voice. But it is what it is. You know, the left can't grow at the rate that we do. We know they have curated content. They handpick these people. They decide who they give the followers and likes to. We know it's all there, you know. That's why they don't like guys like Dalen or Kramer or a lot of the rest of us getting on there and getting a following, device ban everybody and move them on out, you know. So, but it don't matter because we'll always find our audience again. They can't get rid of us all at the same time. They definitely won't get rid of all of us forever. So,
no. And like I said, every time they ban us, like Dockhouse and I, we had never spoken before he got banned last time, before he made 8.0 or 7.0. And so that brought us together. Same with Freedom Stick, same with Packing Patriot. You know, we got banned at the same time over and over, and we're like, kind of like, what the fuck's going on here? And so, man, we started talking off the app, and same with Dark House, and same with about, I probably have a network of at least 70 to 80 people that I talk to off of the app. And that's what the app keeps doing. They keep bringing us together, and they keep, you know, they're making our network bigger. And that's,
absolutely.
You know.
Yeah, and That's kind of what, like, why I was saying about bringing up like the building of a new infrastructure, the building of a parallel economy. Like, it has to be done at this point because now we have all seen their capabilities, what they're able to do, like how they're able to just remove us off of the platform right away and make us rebuild. And like, you know, every time. You know, Michael, you know, every time I, like, they delete me and I come back, I'm like, oh, and here we go again. And it just happens all over again because they know that our voice and the things that we are saying is what actual real people want to hear. And yeah. I say real people because I am 100% convinced that the people who are still supporting Biden, the Democrats, and what our establishment government is doing aren't real people. They're fucking real life bots. Because there's no fucking way that you cannot look at your gas station and be like, yep, everything's fine here. Like there's no way.
One man rushes false, exactly. Well, man, we ran out of time,
yeah,
guys.
What a show. What a show.
Yeah. It's awesome, man. We did a great
job
with Chatty O. He was definitely missed. The crowd in the chat room weren't near as live without Chatty O being here, and that's unfortunate. But anybody can listen to the show at any time and make sure to let people know that the show's here and that they can come in and listen to it at any time on blogtalkradio.com and Unplugged Radio Show. So, anyways, great show tonight, guys. I appreciate you calling in, Doc House, man, or anytime you want to call in. Jimmy, I couldn't think of a better co-host, bro, to step in for Chatty O.
Oh,
it was natural.
You.
It was like we've done it 100 times together, man, and great job. Kim, I see you're on here.
No, appreciate.
What do you got, girl?
No, I was just going to thank Doc House very, very much for coming on. We appreciate you. We appreciate your content. And Jimmy, thank you very, very, very much for being a great co-host to stand in for Chad. I'm sure he's still listening. Chad, go to bed. You're on bloody vacation, for Christ's sake. Oh, he's listening. I know he is. He's probably going to text me in about 2 seconds.
But the show will be on our Facebook page.
What's up?
Oh, I was going to say he may not be on the late time time schedule now because doesn't the time change where he's going? Time changes quite a bit again, I think, doesn't it? 4 hours or so.
Not too bad. Not too bad.
No,
okay.
It's better for him. It'll be,
because
what is it, 10 around, no, what is it, 10 for you, Jimmy?
It's 10 Eastern right now here in beautiful Hastings County in Southern Ontario,
So it'll be around 10 for him. So it'll be early for him, but yeah, he's probably, well, hopefully he's enjoying his time. He needs some downtime. If there's not enough going on in this world, everyone else has other stuff going on too. So, but great show tonight, guys. Again, our show will be on the Facebook page tomorrow morning, and we have a great guest next week. We are going to hit the topic of child trafficking head on next week, and it is going to be a great show, one you won't want to miss. Yeah.
I can't wait.
I'm calling in.
It's going to be one I'm excited about because that's one of the reasons I started making videos on TikTok is because of that. And then I started getting more into the politics side of it. And that's something that really needs a light shined on it. And that is something that really can bring a lot of people together. But
couldn't agree more.
Great show. Appreciate everybody.
Can I say my goodbye real quick?
You can say your goodbye,
thank you guys so much for having me on tonight. I really enjoyed this conversation. I think that this is exactly what we need to have happen. It's just people talking. You can check me out next Monday. I'm going to be releasing my very own first podcast. Coming through patriotwire.org. So I hope you guys, if you're listening, you'll come over and check out. I really want to come back. I hope you guys invite me back. This was a good time. And thank you so much for having me. So I appreciate you guys.
Yeah, you know we will, man. You know we will. And Jimmy's going to be my awesome co-host again next week. I want to thank our producer, Kim. And on that note, everybody have a great night, and we will see you on TikTok World tomorrow or the next day when I make a new account.
Good night, everyone.
Bye, guys.
Goodbye. Bye.